prayer, Lord, we come to God's Word tonight in the closing moments of our service. Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You'll find my text tonight in the book of Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. In recent times, our newspapers and our news bulletins have been full of New Year's messages from all kinds of people, celebrities and leaders of society, churchmen, etc. And all sorts of advice have been given, and all sorts of resolutions have been made by people in every avenue of life at the commencement of another year. Of course, we know that most of these things are worthless. People resolve to do certain things or not to do certain things as a New Year's resolution. But often a few days, a few weeks, a few months, it's all forgotten about. It's all forsaken. It's given up in the frustration, perhaps, of not being able to keep it. And maybe this ninth day of January 2011, a lot of the 2011 resolutions have already gone. But we turn away from the words of men tonight. We turn to the Word of God. We listen no longer to the clamor of the world's voices. We listen to the words of Scripture tonight. And we get here the best advice of all. Because in this Bible that we have opened before us tonight, we have the words of life. We have words that bring liberty to the captive souls of men. We have words that fill the longing hearts of people with that joy and that peace and that satisfaction which they have searched and sought after for so long. Words that tell us the way in which we are to take. When we are lost, to go in the right direction. In many ways, a new year is like a crossroads. People are thinking, which way will I go? Which way will you go tonight? The narrow way or the broad way? The way that leads to heaven or the way that leads to hell? Which will it be tonight? These are the stark choices that you have to make. The right way or the wrong way. In our text, we have solemn words tonight. Words that give direction. Even on this Lord's Day evening. As we have but a few days entered into a new year. I want you to see four things in this text of Scripture tonight. And I trust that the Holy Spirit of God would write His Word upon your heart. First of all, here there is the command. Arise ye and depart. It is a command to rise up from where you are. Rise up from your present condition. It involves being alert to where you are. And being awakened to how you are. Oh, you may be alert tonight to the things of time and sense, and yet not be alert to your spiritual condition. The Bible exhorts us tonight, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. How long have you been sleeping? The sleep of death. You seem totally unaware of the danger that you're in, of the depravity of your heart, of the darkness that envelops your soul tonight. You are in desperate need, and yet you're totally indifferent to that need. But God is seeking through these words tonight to alert you, to shake you up, to cause you to rise up where you are and be awakened to your awful Word of God says to you and me tonight, what meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Jairus' daughter? In Mark 5:41, he took her, the damsel, by the hand and said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Arise here means wake up. In verse 39 of that passage, the Lord said of this damsel, this young girl, that the damsel is not dead but sleepeth. And tonight the Lord is saying to you, wake up from your slumber. You think of that man in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. You heard Paul preach. And the Bible tells us in Acts 20 and verse 9 that he fell into a deep sleep. As Paul preached to midnight. And that deep sleep resulted in his fall. And he fell to his death. Are you fallen tonight into a deep sleep? Oh, the danger of that sleep. The danger even of death tonight. God is saying to you tonight in this service, rise up, wake up, hear the word of God tonight. That your ears may be opened. That you might hear the word of God. He's not only saying in these words by way of command to rise up and to wake up, but also to remove. He says, arise ye and depart. Depart means here to go on. Remove yourself from where you are now, spiritually speaking. Depart from this place of sin that you dwell in. This place, according to the context, was a place of covetousness. It was a place of deceit. It was a place of depravity. It was a place of violence. It was a place of exceeding great wickedness. And tonight this world and its pleasures you have been wedded to. The sins of this world. The wickedness of this world. The depravity of this world. And God is saying to you tonight through these words of Scripture, depart from the sins of this world. Scripture says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Leave these things behind tonight. Walk in them nevermore. Repent of your sin. Turn from it. Utterly forsake it. For the word of God says to you and me tonight, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you depart this night from the far country of your sin, the wild and sinful life of pleasure that you have been following after. The Bible says of the prodigal son, in Luke 15:20, he arose and came to his father. He forsook that far country, that pleasure craves, that riotous living, that living in pleasure. And he came to the father's house. He left his sin. Will you leave your sin tonight and come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you leave the world tonight and come to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what God demands of you who are not saved in this meeting. Arise ye and depart. The command. But I want you to see the caution here, because it says, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. You see, you are searching for rest in this world of sin. But this is not your rest. The Bible says there is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. The Bible says the wicked are like a troubled sea which cannot rest. Well, there may be pleasure here in this world, but this is not your rest. There may be prosperity in this world, but this is not your rest. There may be popularity in this world, but this is not your rest. The Bible says, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. It's striking to read of lots of these pop stars and film stars and actors and great sportsmen and women, so-called role models of society. Those who have risen to great heights of fame and fortune in this world. And those who have reached in the business world and in other sectors of society the zenith of their powers, as it were. They have all things that the world can offer them, yet they cannot rest. They are in turmoil and trouble. I was interested to read just recently one of these footballers, so-called role model of society. He scored a hat-trick. He couldn't even smile. He's on $230,000 a week. He wants a pay raise. He cannot rest. Cannot rest. You see, these people are focusing on the treasures of earth. The things that the world can give to them, all of its attractions, all of its allurements, but they still cannot rest. Is that you tonight? Oh, you mightn't be earning $230,000 a week. Sure you're not. But you cannot rest. Cannot rest. The Bible tells us of the man possessed with the demons. He could not rest. In Mark chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He had no rest. Think of the damsel possessed with the spirit of divination who followed after Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. She found no rest. And so it is with men and women and young people today. Give them the best possible position that they could have, with a fantastic salary, with a mansion of a home, with all the luxuries they possibly could have in this life. And yet they have no rest. They have no rest. You see, the Bible says, this is not your rest. The treasures of this earth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible says, this is not your rest. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What is this rest that the Lord provides? It is the rest of forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And there are many people today, and they cannot rest because their sins are not forgiven. And you know, there are many people who are ill at ease today in this world because they're unforgiven. But my friend, this gospel tonight is the gospel of forgiveness. Not forgiveness provided through a minister or a priest or a parson, but forgiveness provided through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And through the work that he hath done upon the cross, the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is provided for men, women, and boys and girls forgiveness for all your sins. You can go from this meeting tonight scot-free from all your sin. Why? Because there's the rest of forgiveness of sins. I remember Many years ago, when I was much younger than I am now, I went to a meeting in Belfast City Hospital among nurses. I wasn't married at the time, but I didn't marry a nurse. Wasn't very successful on that occasion, I think. But nevertheless, I went there to bring God's word. There's a young Roman Catholic girl, after the meeting was over, and she came to me and says, I was talking about forgiveness, and she said, how can you be sure about forgiveness? She said, I've tried. I cannot find it. I was able to sit down with that young girl that night and show her from God's word how God's word provides forgiveness. In the person of Jesus Christ and in the work of Jesus Christ, there is provided forgiveness for sins. And I tell you tonight, it's available to you in this meeting. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There's the rest of peace with God. This is this rest. And there are people who have no peace. But the Lord says in His word in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace tonight available for you and for me. And then there's something more. There's the rest of the glorious prospect of heaven where we shall rest from our labors. We will leave this world behind. The Bible talks about there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And I tell you, friend, this world is like a troubled sea, but thank God one day we will rest. Those of us who know Christ, we will enter into that glorious rest. Have you this prospect tonight? You know beyond the shadow of a doubt that should you close your eyes in death tonight, and any of us could close our eyes in death tonight, we don't know. I just heard today of a young woman, 35. She buried her mother-in-law just a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the day after Boxing Day. She was found dead in bed this morning, 35. No guarantee of tomorrow for anyone. And my friend, have you the prospect of heaven? You can only have it if you have Christ. If you're saved tonight. And you can be saved in this meeting. And you can come tonight and experience this true rest. His rest. The rest that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember taking a meeting in an old folks home. And sometimes you go to an old folks home and people say to me this. And it does annoy me. They say, why do you go there? Those people don't know anything. Well, I go there to give them comfort from God's word. And I go there and some others to sing the songs of Zion and to give them comfort. And remember that meeting. It'll always be etched in my memory. I came in, other folks were leading the meeting, and I came in. I was in a bit of a rush that particular night, but I came in to bring the word. And I took that text, Matthew 11:28, which you already quoted, come unto me, and all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And I spoke about rest. And at the end of the meeting, there was a wee woman sitting there, and she said, Your Reverence, I want this rest. And there we were able to point her to the Lord Jesus Christ. I came back the next week and she was dead and buried. But she'd entered into rest in Christ. And then she'd entered into the rest of heaven. What a prospect. And I want you to see thirdly tonight, not only the command, not only the caution, but the contamination. Because it is polluted. Arise ye and depart. This is not your rest. Because it is polluted. Speaks here of the pollution of sin. You read the context, you read of a context here that speaks of iniquity in verse 1, of evil, of covetousness, of violence, verse 2, etc. This world is contaminated by sin. God's commandments are broken continually. The Bible tells us that the heart of man is a cesspool of iniquity. heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Remember the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. He said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, that's from the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." Come from the heart. And my friend, your heart is full of the seeds of every sin. The seeds of every sin is in the heart of man. There are people who say, "Well, I'm not like that. You can't bracket me in there." Oh, yes. The Bible says all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We're all tainted with sin. Oh, you might walk on the clean side of the road. You might dress yourself up well. You might never indulge in sins that other people indulge in. But I tell you tonight, the Bible lifts the lid off the human heart and shows that every imagination of the heart of man is only evil continually. This world is a polluted place, and everywhere we go, we see the pollution of sin. There are marriage breakups on every hand, sad to say. There are sodomites in the land. There is drunkenness in the land. There is murder in the land. There is drug addiction in the land. There is blasphemy in the land. There is every sin in this land and in this world of ours. And do you know what the Lord says? We've mentioned there every imagination of the heart of man is evil continually. That was in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6. And then when we come to Matthew 24, it says, verses 37 and 38, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." It's exactly the same today as it was pre-flood, as it was before the flood came. The exact same wickedness is being replicated today in society, in this world of ours. Day is immediately preceding the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This world is contaminated by sin, vileness and immorality. The most debasing and degrading of sins come before us continually. You're in a horrible pit tonight. You're in the miry clay, stinking with the stench of sin, having upon you the garments stained by sin. This world is a filthy place. And I tell you, all around us tonight, we have sin countenanced and sin embraced. Just a few days ago, or maybe it's a few weeks now, time passes so quickly, but you had this whole statement about this rock singer, Elton John, and his partner having, through surrogacy, a child, sodomites, having children. That's only the tip of the iceberg. We have a society that is full of child abuse. We have a society that has been covering up child abuse. Even in the highest reaches of religious orders. This world is contaminated by sin. The Bible says, the heart of man is deceived. It's polluted. But my friend, there's purging from sin. Lay aside the garments that are stained by sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. You can be free tonight from the awful pollution of sin. You can be free tonight from all the awful vileness of sin. You can be delivered tonight by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Your sin may be as dark as hell tonight, but thank God the blood of Christ can cleanse that sin, make you completely whole. Would you think for a moment of drinking of filthy water? No, not at all. If you're prepared to drink at the contaminated stream of sin, what are you thinking about tonight? Turn from it. Turn from it tonight. Reject it. Refuse it. Repent of it. And take Christ as your own and personal Savior. I want you to see tonight not only the command and the caution and the contamination, but I want you to see also in conclusion tonight the condemnation. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. Sin will destroy you in your body. Many there are who bear the marks of a sinful life, even at a young age. I happened to be reading of one of these pop stars. I think it was Amy Whitehouse. Sad, sad story. Young woman. I don't think she's more than 30 years of age if she is that. Her lifestyle of drug abuse, the shocking effects of her life. I saw her once and she was hardly able to walk from the taxi into the house, stumbling, falling. The results of drug abuse. Alcoholism. The Bible speaks of booze. In chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 32, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. The effect of booze. And many are destroyed in their bodies by drugs, by alcohol, which is, of course, a drug. Destroyed by smoking. You ever see the hospitals, and I visit them all the time, of course, and you come to the door of the hospital and there are people and they've got drips on and they're standing there and some of them can hardly breathe, some of them have got oxygen on and they're still smoking. It's sad. It's a total addiction. An addiction to nicotine. And their bodies are being destroyed. Smoking. The curse of cigarettes. Many are destroyed in their body by immoral living. Many are destroyed by the nightlife, the rock music. Destroys the minds of young people. A young man in our church who was into rock music, he listened to it continuously. And today, they're going about with these things in their ears, as was it iPods or something, and they're going about, well, you can hear it, boom, 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 boom. I can hear it even as I'm walking past them, and the thing is in their ears. So you can imagine what they're hearing. I'm sitting at the traffic lights recently there, and again, my car was vibrating. And I was next to the guy that had the music off. What does it do to the minds of those? Not only to the hearing, of course, it affects their hearing eventually if they continue to listen to it. But what does it do to their mind? You see, this music is the devil's music. Many who promote this music are Satanists. In fact, some time ago, one of our youth groups did some kind of research into this music, and if you play it backwards, it actually has a message from Satan. Satan is God. Smoke marijuana. Smoke marijuana. Satan is God. That was the message on this rock music. It destroys the minds of those listening to this loud, loud music day and daily. Its message is a destructive message. I want to tell you tonight that sin has destroyed people's careers. Their prospects have been ruined by their sinful, wicked lifestyles. They cannot continue in such. such as their physical and mental effects of the life that they've been living. But I put it to you tonight, sin will not only destroy you physically and mentally and emotionally, but sin will destroy you spiritually. For our text declares tonight, it shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. It destroyed the people in Noah's day. They were swallowed up in the waters of the flood. The severe judgment of God came upon them. It will destroy the people when the Lord returns again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The sore destruction. What is this sore destruction? It is the sore destruction of an eternal hell that awaits those who die in their sin. That's what this Bible tells us about today. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. It's a very strong word, that word destroyed. Destroyed, and that without remedy. There's no remedy for this destruction. Again, the book of Job declares, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Flee from this condemnation tonight, the consequences of your sin. Seek the cure for your sin in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is told of two men who were classmates at college, Senator Toombs of Georgia and George Pierce. The senator was an unconverted man. He lived a godless life. He had ever married an earnest Christian woman whom he regarded with a feeling akin to veneration. And one day, while visiting at his lovely home, Pierce opened a conversation with his friend. And he said to him something like this, something's going to happen after a while that will go mighty hard upon you, Toombs. What's that? Asked the senator. You and your much-loved wife will be separated. She's going to heaven and you will go to hell. No, that cannot be, said the senator. Yes, it can be, said Pierce. It will be unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You will be separated from her forever. Toombs was silent for a few minutes and said, George, I cannot stand that. I could never stand such a thing. That conversation resulted in the senator's conversion. As a guilty sinner, he knelt at the Savior's feet, entreated him for pardon, and henceforward walked hand in hand with his wife as a companion in her Christian life. It's a terrible thought, thinking upon these words tonight. A husband, a wife, two sisters, two brothers, two dear friends who are traveling down the stream of life side by side, but are going to be separated for all eternity because one has been saved and the other has not been saved. Is that you tonight? Husband, wife, son, daughter, not saved. Not saved in life. If you continue, it will be not saved in death, not saved for all eternity. A person who by birth had an education should have been a gentleman, but was not, came to see a coal miner. And he wanted to go down the mine, and the miner, who was a Christian, was pained by the profane language of the visitor. As they descended down the shaft of the coal mine, they felt it getting hotter and hotter. At last the heat became so great that the visitor said, dear me, it's terribly hot. I wonder how far it is to hell. The Christian man said, "I don't know the exact distance, sir, but if one link of the chain gives way in the shaft, you'll be there in a short time." And the plain miner, Christian man as he was the means of rousing the profane man to a sense of his perilous condition. He realized there was but a step between him and death, and he trusted Christ as a Savior. There's but a step between you and death tonight. But you can experience God's so great salvation even tonight. It's available to the whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon the Lord's name tonight? You shall be saved. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. May God indelibly write His holy word upon your heart tonight. Let us pray. Father, we pray earnestly that Thou wilt speak, O God, to those that know Thee not. We pray that tonight Thou wilt lead them to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They may trust in the Savior and know the saving grace of God and truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.